Awesome. Welcome back to the Lead Up Podcast, where we connect with dope and diverse leaders to learn more about their leadership journey so you can level up in your leadership. Hashtag Lead Up. As always, I want to give a special shout out to Darling New Media, Sacramento's premier podcast studios, here to help tell your story. So make sure to check them out, darlingnewmedia.com in Midtown, and make sure to connect with Nate. Of course, can't forget about the listeners. Thank you so much for all those that are returning listeners. You guys have made this just a fun and just a creative journey for me. Years ago, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, but I was encouraged by friends and other people in my community to like, hey, just do it. And, 40 episodes now later, it's been an incredible ride. So I'm just super excited to continue this with everybody. And for the new listeners, for those that are tuning in for the first time, you are in for a treat because I got a dope guest. And so speaking of my guest, I want to introduce somebody that I've had the pleasure to not only learn from, be impacted by her story, but also the opportunity to work with her in different events and opportunities through our work. So I want to, without further ado, welcome my next guest, Katie McCleary. Welcome to the Lead Up Podcast.
Hey, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I love podcasters.
Yes, yes. And I know you are a podcaster yourself, so definitely want to learn more about that. But for those that don't know who you are, Katie, give us, in a nutshell, who is Katie McCleary? I know your story, I've heard it many times, but we'd love to hear, maybe just give us that little background and kind of your upbringing. Tell us who you are.
Yeah. So I'm one of those like author, speaker, coach, trainers, and that's a relatively sort of new role for me in the past couple years. Most people know me in the Sacramento region as the founder of a nonprofit called 916 Inc. And what we do is we transform young people into confident, published authors who really know the power of their voice. And to really know me and to know Katie McCleary is to know that I deeply care about your voice and your story. And I firmly believe that when you know yourself at such a deep level, you are now primed to do anything you want in your life. When you own your story and you own your voice, you are limitless. So this all comes for me because of my story and my childhood. I grew up as a pretty lonely kid in rural Idaho and rural Washington State. I grew up in poverty. I grew up to two parents who really loved and adored me, but they struggled paycheck to paycheck. They went through a horrible divorce. And I have a younger sister who is blind, developmentally disabled, and has a whole slew of health problems. Mm-hmm. And so my whole life, I have felt like an outsider and as if I didn't ever belong. And so in a nutshell, I'm a person who doesn't want to be lonely, even though I spend a great amount of time in solitude. I deeply care about people. I deeply care about communities. And I deeply care about people who believe that they are outsiders. And how can we transform ourselves to belong and to belong authentically to who we are?
That's awesome. And I know there's so much more to that because, through different, again, opportunities, there's different things that we've been able to kind of cross paths. I've been able to hear other sides of that story, but I know we're on limited time. So I definitely want to get into what we see in the background, that book over there, for those that may not be able to see it or just listening. I want to talk about this because this is something that came out recently. It's your latest, newest book that you co-authored with Jennifer Edwards. And it's called Bridge the Gap. I want to make sure I got it right. Bridge the Gap, Breakthrough Communication Tools to Transform Work Relationships from Challenging to Collaborative. Love that. Just want to start off, like, how did this book project come along? Because when I was doing my research and seeing the yin and yang of your co-author and who you are, I was just blown away. But I think it's so you at the same time because... I think we'll get into that in a little bit, but just let's start off with the how did we get to the Bridge the Gap and all this?
Yeah. So my co-author and I met in 2018 in a women's leadership circle. We were introduced to each other by a mutual friend, and we were both writing books. So I was writing a book called The Metamorphosis, which was for emerging young leaders who want to start nonprofits, start businesses, just get their foot in the door and make change. But often those young people feel a deep sense of imposter syndrome. Okay. And so I was writing a book about who do you need to become on the inside to feel so secure in who you are to become that leader that you want to be. Jennifer was writing a book about communication and about really a very straightforward conversation method that could connect you to anyone, no matter how different they were than you, to open up their mind to possibilities. And so when we got to know each other, our differences were front and center. She's a Christian. I'm a Buddhist. She lives in Granite Bay in this gorgeous, like, mansion type house. Like, I live on a little podunk, like, hobby farm in Fair Oaks with 16 chickens and bees and crazy stuff. We have different political views. She is a Republican. I am a Democrat. And she listens to country music. I listen to rock and roll and rap. And so we just on the outside could not be more different. Yeah. And when we met, this is the time of Trump. This is then leading us into racial and social upheaval, right? George Floyd. Then we're hit with the pandemic.
Right.
He asks me, hey, do you think we could write a book together? And once we got to know each other, we decided to do that because we thought, well, what if we taught people to show up better in their relationships, to be able to really reach across that divide and have a conversation that was led by curiosity so that we can get to all that good stuff about suspending our biases, learning what we don't know that we don't know about the other side, and really asking this question, do we need each other? Do we need each other? Do I need to go and reach out to the people in the foothills? Do I even need them? And do they need me? Yes, we do need each other. So we're writing a book as all of this stuff is going down, right? So she's watching Fox News. I'm watching CNN. I'm like, oh my God, you go and watch CNN. She's like, oh my God, you go and watch Fox News, right? And we're using and coming up with these tools and tools that I've done in my practice, she's done in her practice. And we're sort of creating a new curriculum for how we can understand each other better. In particular, when you are in a relationship where you struggle to understand, like, and respect one another, how are you going to bridge that gap? And then we got a book deal and all these amazing influencers came out to support it. And now it's been Forbes, Fast Company, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, like Shondaland, like Shondaland, like when Shonda Rhimes calls you, you pick up, right? And it's been an amazing journey and I've learned a whole lot.
Wow. Wow. What would you say? Again, I think it's one of those things, as you're saying, the time that we spent of the pandemic and so many things that were happening during that time, I think there it could easily be like, you know, whoever's on opposite sides of the teams or, you know, opposing, like that, like the mixing and working together doesn't seem like that would be something that would come out of this. But you guys took a whole different approach and worked together and made something beautiful. What would you say was your biggest takeaway from either this process and even now having the book out? What's something that, I guess, the biggest lesson that you've learned through that process and journey?
The biggest lesson I've learned is that we live in the pressure cooker of polarization, and there's a lot of culture and noise and tension that wants to divide us. And if we can suspend our biases, suspend our judgments. And if we're the one who does that and the other side is not doing that, how can I get them to understand how to suspend their biases and their judgments and to be conscious and aware of it without shaming them, without blaming them, without convincing and cajoling them? There's a real art to that. And when we can get over that, like, we're two sides of one coin. I'm actually going to grab a coin. We really are two sides of one coin. And there's millimeters. We are so focusing on our differences. It's insane. And we're not speaking the same language. And a great example of that is just the term defund the police. You know me, I'm all about defund the police. But what do I mean by that? And is that messaging getting out there, right? And when you actually reach across the divide and you talk to, I've worked on a project about this, police, community, the right, the left, the people who are being impacted and brutalized by bad cops, bad policing policies and practice. When you actually push through all of that, most of us want the same thing, but it takes leadership and it takes conflict management. And I don't, I still haven't met anybody who wakes up every day and is like, oh my God, I love conflict. Let's go heal it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've had to do a lot of internal reflection to see how I was showing up.
Yeah.
Especially during Trump. Yeah. And what I was saying on social media and what I was posting and what I was joking about. Yeah. And is that me? Does that represent my leadership and does it represent my values?
Wow.
And it doesn't.
Yeah.
So I stopped.
Yeah.
And that was hard.
Wow. This leads me to a follow-up question about communication. How do communication skills impact personal and professional outcomes? I think this is something I talked to my last guest about, you know, the workforce and the workplace is changing even before our eyes too, right? People quitting their jobs, finding better jobs or trying to work from home. So even the whole landscape of what we're in right now is changing right before our eyes. So I'm curious to, you know, at a time where this, again, the book is out in your experience, how important and how do communication skills impact personal and professional outcomes?
How you communicate is everything, right? I mean, and communication is actually only like 7% of the words that come out of your mouth. There's this whole like study about it. It is about your tone. It is about your energy. It is about your body language.
Right.
And so communication is not just how articulate you are or the words that you use. It is everything about you and how you show up. And I'm not sure that we teach communication very well in this country. I mean, have you ever been taught how to have a conversation? Like literally been taught. Have you ever thought very deeply about how you're showing up and how you're being experienced on the other side? We don't talk about these things. We just sort of learn as social creatures. That is what we are. We're social creatures. We mimic. We strive, we have these emotional needs to strive to fit in and belong. And so we become mirrors. And so often like we're just being who we are and doing and not bringing clarity about how we're communicating with intention. Yeah. What are the words that we're choosing? What's the energy we're conveying? And so there's so many times in our book, our whole book is like this really tangible, practical guide. It's not like a book that tells you, hey, you should listen more. It's like, here's four hurdles to listening and here's three sets of headphones you're wearing and here's what we need to do and here's how to show up better. Like it's very practical. And I kind of lost my train of thought. But one of the things that we consistently come back to is how are you showing up? How intentional are you? How aware are you about your communication strategy? And go practice in the mirror in the bathroom. That was it. Mm. We're constantly like, go sit in front of a mirror and look at yourself. Yeah. How are you coming off? So many of us are just unaware about it.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think speaking of practicality, I know you all did a lot of research when it came to like biological reactions and different factors that play into these things. Practicality, what can anyone do to better kind of control some of their biological reactions when they're facing pressure, anxiety, or stress, specifically when it comes into the workplace? Again, a lot of things are changing. And I've seen it on both ends from current members, new people that we're onboarding. And there's a lot of stress that comes in that. So I'm curious to maybe someone that's listening that how they can find some practical things to kind of walk away with.
Yeah. So we're all stitched into this human suit that we can't zip off. So wherever you go, there you are. You better learn to become real comfortable with your brain, your thoughts, what shows up in your body. And the whole game of this is to suspend and disrupt that pressure that you feel. And it's natural to feel it. That's the first thing to know. It's natural to feel it. You're supposed to feel it. So it takes like Jedi-like mind qualities to gain control over yourself. So we have about 18 or 16 different ways in the book, but here are three that I want to share with you. The first one is that, and I'm going to back up. The research shows 50% of the population just has thoughts going in their head. They actually don't hear a separate voice in their head. They just have thoughts. The other 50% of the population actually hears a voice in their head or many voices that chatter with thoughts. Neither way is right or wrong, but there's great power in having psychological distance from you and your thoughts in your head. And so naming anything is really powerful.
Yeah.
So I want you to attribute a name to the thoughts in your head that are sour, that are negative, that are angry, and that like to speak crap at you in moments of pressure, because our whole body is actually wired to do that.
Yeah.
So my internal voice, her name is Gretchen. Gretchen is not very nice, and she's not nice to me, and she's really judgmental of others. I have learned to recognize when Gretchen's voice or thought is in my head. And I have to ask myself in that moment, is Gretchen in charge or is Katie in charge? So one, name it. And then a really powerful act is at the end of your week, you want to reflect on your week. And I want you to self-coach and speak your name out loud. Katie, you did a really good job this week when you went and met with Renato on the podcast. Katie, I want you to talk to yourself in the third person. It's actually a practice that will help you gain psychological distance from thoughts in your heads to your behavior and your actions. Okay. So let's say you have to go into a room and network and you're really nervous and you don't want to do it. You don't feel like you belong. Right. And you have to go communicate. You have to go pitch. You have to go do something. Right.
Right.
Before I walk into every event, I go to the bathroom, and that is to wash my hands. I wash my hands in really cold water or really hot water. Don't burn yourself. But the point is that I'm changing my body temperature.
Got it.
And when you change your body temperature in that moment, you are creating a nervous system reset of all these chemical cocktails that are flooding through your body. So whenever you're nervous, anxious, pressure, whatever, you have an amygdala at the root of your brain. I call her Amy for short. Amy is always riding shotgun on you. She's frenemy. She's keeping you safe. She's keeping you alive. But Amy can't tell the difference between a gun at your head and being shamed by your aunt at the dinner table.
Wow.
She's really not that evolved. So she's going to send cortisol, epinephrine, all these drugs that hijack your prefrontal cortex. That is where communication, curiosity, connection, belonging, love, culture, everything that makes us amazing humans.
Yeah.
Up to 26 hours, you can be hijacked when Amy starts sending those messages to your prefrontal cortex.
Wow.
That's when someone's like, oh my God, I was overtaken. I didn't know what to do. We just saw it happen to Will Smith at the Oscars.
Right.
Amy hijacked him. He did not have executive prefrontal cortisol function at that moment.
Yeah.
Cortex function. So I wash my hands. I reset. I self-coach myself to go in there to just smile. I'm not a natural extrovert, which really shocks a lot of people. So
team introvert right here. So,
yeah. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go find one person to talk to. I'm going to go find one person to share the good news of 916. And that's my whole goal. And I'm washing my hands and I am literally calming and resetting my nervous system. I'm not allowing Amy to hijack me. Okay. The last strategy is really easy. And I know people don't really like it. Breathe. Breathe. Breath. If you can solidly breathe intentionally for 1 to 2 minutes, 5.5 inhales through your nose, 5 seconds out your mouth, 5.5 in your nose, 5 seconds out your mouth. You do that for 1 to 2 full minutes. You can absolutely regain your intention, your focus, your commitment, and your joy and your positivity.
Wow. Y'all listening or watching this, y'all need to rewind a couple minutes. Actually, you know what? Y'all need to just buy the book. All right. Y'all need to buy the book today. I'm going to buy a copy, and I want to buy another copy for whoever hits me up first in the direct message in the Lead Up Podcast Instagram. I'm going to give you a free copy because I'm going to buy two copies right after this. Katie, can you share who is this book for and where they can purchase it?
Mm-hmm. So this book is for anyone. We wrote it for every single working person out there. And honestly, you can use it in your life. All the strategies work with your kids at home, with your in community. It doesn't matter. But we really wrote it for the everyday average person. You will find that it is easy to read. It's fun. It has memorable analogies, and it literally has tools and tips that you can do immediately and that don't cost a bunch of time and money and energy.
There you go.
Perfect. Yeah. And you can buy it anywhere. It's like all over the place. It's amazing.
Right. It better be. Right.
And it's on Audible and it's on Kindle and it's on Nook. So we are very blessed with a good publisher.
Awesome. And congratulations again to you and Jennifer on this amazing project. Definitely excited to dive into it. Now shifting a little bit gears here, because I know you're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to like leadership stuff and all the things that you've done in the city of Sacramento and beyond. Want to just touch on some questions and then move on to my favorite segment, the lightning round. But before we get there, I'm curious to hear a little bit more about your leadership journey. I know one aspect that my good friend Christian Landa got the opportunity to work alongside you was visiting the Folsom Prison. And this is something that you've been doing for some time now. So I'm curious to hear your involvement with that. I did some research too, that there was that some of, at one point, some of the guys raised some money for you to donate to 9168. I was kind of totally blown away by that story. So maybe hearing a little bit more about your involvement with Folsom, maybe kind of some insight of that.
Yeah. So, I was running 9168 as the executive director, and I got an email one day that said, "Hey, there's a bunch of guys who, are in prison and they've raised money for 9168. And we would really love to present a check to you and your team. Could you come in?" And I was like, "Hell yeah. Like, this is very exciting, you know?" Yeah. And they wouldn't tell us how much they had raised. So I went in with like no expectations. I was just like, one, like totally excited to go be inside Folsom Prison. And two, just that a group of prisoners knew about 9168 and decided right. to raise money. And how did they raise money? So it turns out they actually were able to sell a bunch of pizzas on Super Bowl weekend inside the prison with the blessing of the warden. And they raised like $6,300 for wow. us. And when they gave us the check, many of them were tearing up and crying, and they said, had we had 9168, had we had the opportunity for someone to hear our story and to know that we mattered and that you would have loved us no matter what we did, because that's a big tenet of 9168. We just love you. We don't care really who you are, but we love your voice and your story, that maybe we would not have landed here. And so what that led to was a conversation about them wanting to write their stories down and to be able to give those stories to young people who were interfacing with the juvenile justice system in what we used to call juvenile hall. Juvenile halls are now gone, but we've worked in all the different units of basically incarcerated kids or kids who are in group homes or in transition. Mm-hmm. And so we were unable to deliver their stories directly to the kids because of probation and other factors. And so I said, "Well, why don't I come in and just start writing with you?" Mm. And so I would go in one Wednesday a month with my writing prompts and a group of writers. Christian came with me one time. Mm-hmm. And we would write about belonging, about love, about summertime, about our mothers, about peonies, about the deer. We would write all these things. And eventually I had them write a letter to their younger self, to their 13-year-old self. Many of these men, 75% of them are lifers.
Wow.
Many of these men had been in and out of juvenile hall-like facilities their whole life. And so they would write a letter to their 9-year-old self, their 10-year-old self, their 13-year-old self, saying, "Hey, I see you and I see your potential." And so we bound that up and the California Endowment published it. And wow. we were able to disseminate those books all throughout Sacramento County and in the Oakland School District as well. So and cool. then we went on to publish another book. And so I'm really passionate, and I know that there's so many people in this city that are passionate about how do I amplify the voice and the story mm-hmm. of people who don't have that microphone or that platform, that education, that resource, that outlet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's sort of like my religion. I mean, my religion is like sitting in circles yeah. and like saying, tell me about these seashells. Yeah. It doesn't matter what I put in the room, Renato.
I right.
Seashells, flowers.
Right.
It doesn't matter what prompt I give.
Yeah.
Because the really meaningful stuff in our lives, when you feel safe and yeah. belong and you're accepted, what needs to bubble up for you will bubble up no matter what question I asked.
Yeah. And I can definitely attest to that because I've been part of those circles. I know sometimes you had mentioned something about hedgehogs or something like that. And I'm like, what is she talking about? But I'm just falling with it. But that safety and belongingness is very spot on. I think a lot of that, as I mentioned before, about the people leaving the workforce in droves, it's a lot of that is because they didn't feel like they belonged. They yeah. didn't feel safe, right? They had bad leaders or bad supervisors or just an unhealthy or toxic workplace, right? And now it's like, this is my out. This is my opportunity to break away from that so I can be healthy, so I can feel like a part of something that I feel like I belong and feel safe, which is not talked about a lot. I think it's talked about more so now in the realm of wellness and mental health, which is great, but there's definitely a lot more work to be done. I did have another question. As you were mentioning 916 Inc., I know that's something you founded, and you wear many hats, and you've been on this not only creative but entrepreneurial journey. And I know a lot of folks, entrepreneurship even now is something that, you know, the hustle and all these things, some of it is good. A lot of these fake guru stuff is kind of like, you know, doesn't go anywhere. But as you've kind of worn these many hats and continue on your journey, what is something that allows you to manage so much on your plate, as we're talking about wellness and things to kind of for capacity's sake, but what allows you to have these many roles and different things, to endeavors to kind of, you know, put your energy into? Because a lot of times folks will say, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I don't have the right people. What's helped you along your journey to make these things happen for yourself?
So I wanted to be really, really clear. For a long time, I had no safety net underneath me. And I've known what it's like to have the negative $6,300 in your bank account and nothing. And a big aha for me and all that is that it doesn't matter. I don't die. So I have a different kind of capital that I lean on. And this is something I really love to teach, especially to young entrepreneurs. You may not have economic capital, right? So you got to work. You got to learn how to live. But you have cultural capital, you have creative capital, and you have people, human capital. Relationships will get you everywhere, but you have to show up and you have to reach out and you have to define your vision and you have to ask for help. That's the key. That is it. So I've worked so many jobs around the clock at 916 Inc. I didn't get paid for like the first 3.5 years. I was teaching full time. I had like kids all over me and I was still so committed to my vision. And that's it. You have to commit to your vision and your idea. It's such a deep place that you can define it easily. And in defining it, it should be really simple for you and others to understand. For 916 Inc., it was, I would love to teach kids the power of story so that they may fall in love with reading and writing, and that will increase literacy rates, which will increase their life chances. Will you join me? That is what, 15 words?
Right.
It will cost you nothing.
Right.
Right. Now, we talk about getting into rooms with resources, people who are decision makers, people who have budgets, right? Yeah. There is this like leveling up game. And I think for myself and a lot of people, I felt like an outsider for so long. I didn't have the wardrobe. I didn't have the look. I didn't have the, you know, whatever. I would like drive into a parking lot and it was like, here's my old, like, crazy beat up Ford Focus that hasn't been washed because I don't go to the car wash. And I'm sitting next to Lexus and Tesla and right. Go to the bathroom, wash your hands, coach yourself to show up and make one ask. We have to be self promoters, but we can't be fake gurus. We have to be self promoters, which is why you have to know the power of your story and how you're showing up and how you're being experienced. And internally, you got to be your own rock and your own cheerleader. And it happens. You just, every time you gain another piece of capital, a relationship, the first yes, that first little chunk of money, you celebrate it and then you leverage it. How can I strategically make use of this money, this relationship, this experience, this product, right? And then own it. Like, you add it to your resume, you add it to your bio. And that's how over time you grow and you rise. So I don't know if I answered your question.
You did. You answered that and then some.
Okay, good. I'll shut up now.
If you haven't paused yet, go get the book. Support and invest in yourself and buy the book today. Because, again, Katie is just amazing. I got one more question, then we're going to get into the lightning round. Okay. As you think about the future for yourself and, you know, one book is out, what is next for you? What are the next, talking about endeavors, projects, things that you're aspiring? What is Katie doing in the next couple of years?
So I'm going to ride the Bridge the Gap journey for a while, and it's awesome. And I love it. And that's going to be great. But I'm also working on a memoir that I've been working on for over 20 years.
Wow.
And I'm at a place now where I really feel like I know what that memoir story is. And it's about bodies. It's about being, and it's about the great beyond. And so it's called The Biomythography of B. And that's the next journey for me, is to move into the mind, body, spirit space. And I would really love to inspire people who don't feel at home in their bodies, who maybe don't have a sense that anything is out there for them, that they don't have a belief system that supports knowing the fact that we are limitless creatures when we really know who we are in our being. And to me, that's a direct reaction to a culture of doing, 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 hustle, 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 grow, grow, grow. I would love to transition to that space in the next couple of years.
Wow. Well, I'm excited whenever you finish that bad boy up, because I will definitely get a copy of that. Oh man. Oh, Katie, are you ready for the lightning round?
Bring it on.
The lightning round are just a list of questions, nothing that I've sent you beforehand, so you don't know what they are. Okay. First thing that comes to mind, that's your answer. And we will get started right now. First one, very easy. Favorite dessert?
Creme brulee.
If you were the host of a late night talk show, who would your first guest be?
David Letterman.
Interesting. Artist or song that is currently on repeat?
King by Florence and the Machine.
Nice. Pet peeve?
Burping.
Something that most people wouldn't know about you?
Oh my God, I'm so out loud with my life. I'm not sure that there's very many people that don't know stuff about me. I am happily unmarried for 23 years to a really amazing partner who's a sociology professor at Sac City College.
There you go. Worst advice someone has given you?
Hustle.
Finish the statement. The future of Sacramento is?
Okay, the first thing that came to my mind is flourishing. It really is flourishing, but we got to let go of comparing ourselves to other places.
Facts. Worst nickname someone has given you?
Rough and tough with the Afro puff.
Okay, time out. I need like 30 seconds. Where is this coming from?
Okay, so my hair is huge, actually. It's really flat today. But when I was in high school, I got the Scary Spice perm on top of my curls. Gotcha. And I have like hair enough for like 7 people. So my hair was literally like a huge fro. Yeah. And I can send you pictures. And there was a group of mean girls. I was bullied like all throughout high school. Mm-hmm. And they would chant at me, "There she goes, rough and tough with the Afro puff, big red, who does she think she is?"
Wow.
Yep.
There you go, rough and tough. All right, got a couple more here. Place you most want to travel to?
Bali.
Biggest lesson you learned so far in 2022?
Keep letting go.
Last one here, finish the statement to close out the show. Every leader needs what?
Curiosity.
There you have it. Katie McCleary, every leader needs curiosity. Thank you so much, Katie, for your time. This was amazing conversation. Again, buy the book, Bridge the Gap, today. And we'll see you on the next episode of the Lead Up Podcast. Peace.